Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davins, and yes, Davins, and the show that is better than eating horse poop.
We're
better than that. You can join the chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking on air, and then you are in. I am joined by special guest Kevin Lee, comedian Kevin Lee.
I am here.
Pip Helix.
Hey, everybody.
I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt, and shortly we will be joined by recently retired detective Dave Daugherty and the intrepid Joe Curry.
Yes.
He's probably getting pulled over on the way here.
Joe?
No. A retired detective.
He's getting pulled over.
No. Dave knows the speed laws.
He'll let him go quick.
Dave's a good man. He knows the speed laws. All right. On the show, we're going to talk, it'll be light tonight. Race, policing, racial tensions, and then we'll play some Dead or Alive.
There'll be no problems.
good music for this segment.
Yeah.
Do we have a drop cloth for the bloodletting?
The same one we use for you when you get too overheated.
Good.
So what's going on, Pip?
Well, you know what? I had a little sad news today.
Oh, that's a good way to start the show.
Yeah, I know. Everybody play the gloom and doom music.
I can find it if you want.
In your head. No, that's all right. I found out that one of my middle school teachers died.
Yeah, but you're old. I'm old. It's not a shock. I mean, I'm sorry, but they're not going to live forever.
No, I know, but he's not that much older than me. He's actually not that much older than Mr. Helix. And that
so
was,
what
scary.
Was he, like 70?
No, he was 64.
That's pretty young,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, that's pretty young. Yeah. And
it's not a good dying age.
No. And, you know, it was like he was one of the cool teachers. We had a bunch of, like, young, cool teachers in my middle school that we liked.
He was the one who could date the students.
No. But he was just really, he was feisty and he was funny and he was like, I was on.
You know what he couldn't beat? Death.
Yeah, no, he couldn't. He couldn't.
What'd you have him for?
He was a reading teacher. And I know.
In middle school?
I know.
You should pretty much know how to read by middle school.
I know. It was a little odd, you know, but they had reading skills.
He was attractive, wasn't he? And somebody threw him a job.
He was cute, but he wasn't like conventionally handsome kind of guy.
Somebody threw this guy a job. There's no reason for reading teachers by seventh, eighth grade.
No, that was.
Was he like for remedial, like kids who couldn't read?
No.
Really?
No, I had him. No, because I was a good student and I had him for reading. That was one of the classes that you had. And so, no, and he was also the supervisor, or I don't know what you call it, the person that overlooked yearbook. And so I was.
Yearbook supervisor.
Yeah, I was like the geek, you know, with the geeks that
were. Were you in touch with him over the years?
You know what? I saw him when I was working in a deli and it came in and I, you
it's
know.
A long time ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. But then again, at. Not the hellish gig that I had for my day program.
All right, enough. So first of all, we got to stop you right there. It's not a gig. Kevin and I do gigs. You have a job.
I have a day job.
You have, yes. You
yeah.
Have, this is.
You're not allowed to use the word gig.
Yes.
Okay. We're
talked
get,
about it with gig economy.
Eating fire.
Yes.
You don't know what I do. You don't know what I do, mister.
Sucking cock and juggling balls. It's a gig.
You know what? That's a gig.
It's a gig.
As long as there's juggling involved. But, yeah, so I had the hellish job, like, a while ago, and then the short-lived job in between. And when I was at that one, I ran into him again, and we had a really nice conversation.
Aww.
And I was like, "And
did
you know,
he look ill?
He looked perfectly fine."
Aww.
And we had a talk, and we made plans that we were going to go out and have coffee and like keep chatting because we were having a really good conversation, and we knew mutual people, so it was really nice. And then when I left there, he told my coworker, "Oh yeah, that's right, I got to call her, you know, set up that." You know, coffee thing. And then.
So he recognized you?
Oh, yeah. Now we knew each other.
There's
we remembered
no, there's
each
no
other.
There's no way a middle school teacher would recognize me. No, and I wouldn't recognize him.
The same. I'm just taller. No, I still look the same I did when I was in middle school.
I think
I look essentially the same as I did when I was in school.
It's a long time ago.
I was get off the air of me when I was a teenager. And, I mean, I haven't changed much.
Okay.
Still the original mustache. Original mustache.
I have facial hair, but I'm still the same looking guy.
Yeah, teachers recognized me all the time because basically my face did not change. I have the same moon face I had when I was a kid.
I don't think they'd recognize. I wouldn't recognize that. I don't even know my middle school teachers.
Really? Oh, no.
No,
mine
either.
It's nice that you had this special bond with your reading teacher.
I did. And also, the music teacher in my middle school happened to be in a theater group that I was in. So I got to know her really well. And they were friends.
Here's what we...
Yeah.
Here's what we've learned about you. You need to fucking move. Stop. I mean, this is like the small town, never go away shit. That's what you're doing right there. And there's a lot of people like you. Yes. Most people are like you.
Yes.
They are raised in an area and they really don't move out of that area.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to fucking stop.
I stayed in my village.
Yeah,
you know?
Not me.
Same area that you, okay.
Yeah. I didn't move far at all. I've never, except for when I was away at school, I've never been 10 miles away from where I grew up.
Here's the beauty of me. I don't live by where I grew up, and I don't know anybody here. So I'm unrecognizable to everybody.
Oh, no.
A school teacher I used to get in trouble with all the time. Actually showed up at one of my shows. But she didn't know it was me, because I guess she didn't expect to see. She went to a comedy club, and I'm on stage headlining, and she comes to me after the show. She goes, "Are you Kevin Lee?" And I just finished telling you people recognize me.
Yeah.
She was just, she couldn't put two and two together because I was on stage performing and she just didn't think that would be the guy.
Right. She just couldn't picture that as that kid she knew.
She had higher hopes for you academically.
So, this is what you're doing?
So
oh, Kevin.
Did you go to Greenbelt Elementary School? And I go, yes, I did. And then she figured out it was me. So this is, yeah.
Well, that's cool. When you run into people later,
I don't think I've run into any teachers.
Oh, I've run into a number of them. Well, because I stayed in my village, basically. But also, I was like that geeky kid that I liked my teachers, and I like was friends with them as much as you could be as a student.
Really?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. I was that kid.
Good God.
I know.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you. You know what? But the moral of my little story here is that we never got to sit and have that coffee and catch up. And it sort of reminds me that, you know, if you have those opportunities, take them, because you never know. The guy went down to visit his mom and his brother in Florida, had a heart attack and died at 64, which isn't very old. No. And, you know, it's like,
was he still teaching?
No, he had just retired.
Of course, it always happens right after you retire.
Yeah.
I'm never going to retire.
Well,
don't
we just
ever
die in hotel
retire.
Rooms.
We die in hotel rooms and on stage.
It's the kiss of
regularly.
Death. Regularly. You know, to sit home and do nothing. But, I mean, I don't know if that he was doing that.
So you're going to go to the services?
Well, he died January 24th and he was Jewish, so it's done. I just found
so
out
how'd
today.
How'd you find out?
Because he...
Somebody put it in a bagel? How did word get to you?
Well, my coworker, I told her, oh my God, you know who that just was? That was my middle school teacher, because I was talking to him for a long time at work. And then his brother came in yesterday and talked to her, and she said, hey, how's your brother doing?
Dead.
And yeah, he started crying. He's like,
oh,
he's dead.
Oh.
And told her the story, and she's like, oh man. So she was like, how am I going to tell her, you know?
You know what the moral of the story is for me?
What?
Don't let you open the show. I mean, really, what a depressing way.
But my point is, do it now. Whatever it is, do it now. Get together with those
people.
Yeah,
you're very profound with that. Nobody's ever said that before.
No, I know, but it...
So what are you going to do now? Now that this has been thrust upon you, what are you going to do now that you've been putting off?
I have
besides cleaning the house.
I have... Bitch. I have various friends that we've been putting off getting together, and
okay.
I'm going to make sure that I, like, firm up dates with them.
All right. So, this week, mm-hmm. you're going to be calling those friends. You're going to go, let's get together inside of 3 months.
And setting dates. Yep.
I'm attending a comedian's funeral Thursday, by the way.
Are you?
Oh, the guy in Maryland?
Yeah, Joe Recca, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I've been known for 27 years, who died of a heart attack, apparently, in his apartment.
Not an old guy either, as I read.
No,
still in the pictures.
I think he's 57, 58.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I didn't know him, but I saw the pictures. Didn't look old.
Good guy, funny comic. Yeah, but he's, I think he's 57, maybe 58, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
yeah.
did that change your behaviors?
I don't have any behaviors.
Well, no, but Pip had an epiphany.
We'll get into that.
But Pip had like an epiphany that I need to get on the phone. And so I'm saying, seeing your friend who's not that much older than us.
Yes.
Pass away. Did something go off in your head to go, I need to, you know.
No, because I live, you know, life to its fullest, and I live my dreams anyway, so.
Yeah, but there's nobody you feel like you need to call and get together with, or?
No, not at all, other than the lady who's doing my taxes.
There you go. There you go.
I don't need to see anybody else, damn it.
You're a hermit like him?
So your reading teacher.
Yes.
His final act in your life was to teach you one more lesson.
Aw. Yes, it was. Actually, yes, it was.
There are. It's right where it's in the jerk-off corner over there.
Don't go over there. That's mine.
But, I mean, they kind of taught you.
That actually is a pretty good lesson.
There you go. Wrapped it up like an old sitcom.
I know. Look at that. We solved the world's problems in 30 minutes.
There we did. But and you did get a good conversation with him.
I did. Yeah, no.
Was he married?
No, he wasn't.
Okay.
You know, but
any cats?
I don't know.
Because, you know, you're the go-to for, like, you're to take cats.
I am. I'm not only the cat lady, but I'm the magnet for other cat people. It's
unbelievable. Are you really eating an orange on my fucking show? We were bullshitting 15 minutes ago. You tell us about Aerosmith, and now you're sitting here eating a clementine.
She's not complaining.
I have a cat living in my crawl space right now.
You do?
Well, he got in because it's cold outside.
Yeah.
And he's homeless. So
that's what they do.
I do my crawl space, I guess, to stay warm, and then I fed him, and now he's in there constantly. He won't leave.
Oh, now he's your cat.
Now you have a cat. But you also have dogs.
He doesn't come to me. You know, he just comes in and gets his food. He doesn't run. Like, he won't let me pet him. I can get, like, this close to him, but I go to pet him, he walks off. But
Well, he's still scared.
I've been feeding him for a couple of weeks, you know, and he's still in there.
So you've adopted a cat?
Basically, yes. Until
yes.
He gets warm, he gets the hell out.
Yeah, but you might. But between now and it gets warm, you guys might bond. You might have a cat.
No, I'm going to fill up the hole that he's getting in the house in when it gets warm.
Well, yeah, because then the cat will be living in the house. He's going to become an indoor cat.
I'm giving him some heat because it's warm. I don't know how warm the crawl space is, but I take it as a little warmer than
absolutely.
Outside.
He's not getting the wind. Yeah,
the wind and stuff.
He'll be an indoor cat soon. You have a new cat.
Yeah, and since you fed him, he's not going away just because it gets warm. That's a pipe dream.
He's like Pippin that regard.
Well, yes. Yeah, it's warm. You fed me?
On the front steps, not under my basement.
Okay, well, that's still, you just got, you congratulations, got a cat. You got a cat.
Congrats, Kev.
Thank you.
And the cat got a new home.
Yes.
All the PETA people listening appreciate this.
Everybody appreciates your kindness, Kevin.
Of course they do.
Well, Pip, I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
You have anything upbeat, or is that it?
Mr. Helix and I had a fantastically romantic evening while everybody else was watching the Super Bowl. We went to Wegmans.
You went to the fucking supermarket?
We did.
Nobody was in there either, was it?
No.
Empty. Yeah, it's the best time to go.
Yeah, that's true.
It's an annual tradition. Because he doesn't like football any more than I do. So we go to the supermarket during the Super Bowl.
Did you see the halftime show?
No.
We're going to get to the Super Bowl stuff.
Couldn't even be interested.
She's obviously going to have nothing to contribute to
that. Like the halftime show?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. Right.
I want some other people that may have seen it.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah. Yeah, no, not even the
about that show, by the way.
Oh.
We'll get to it. I'll make sure we get to it.
I heard about it.
I've been struggling with this, and it's actually from a Seinfeld episode. I don't know if I've talked about this before, but I'm definitely struggling with it again. People who I don't respect how they do their job.
Yes.
Like, I just think, in our case, it would be hacky or easy.
Mm-hmm.
In the day program, it might be somebody who's lazy or sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
And how they I have a hard time respecting their opinion on other matters. And I've always been good about differentiating. Go, all right, well, just because I'm not a fan of how they do their job, in our case, comedy, I could still respect
their opinion. Yeah. You don't like the way they do their job.
Well, now it's coming to that. Now I'm like, the way you do your job is so fucking hacky and easy. Now you're going to act like you're intelligent. I can't respect it. And it's not a good quality.
that's not fair because let's say a guy who rides the bench in the NBA
right.
will be a great coach. But Michael Jordan, who played tremendously, the greatest, will probably be a horrible coach. So just because he sucks at his job is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but
not smart in other areas.
Well,
right,
no, but what you said is he might still be smart at basketball.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is we're not having conversations about comedy. We're having conversations, in this case, politics.
Okay.
And I'm just like, please, you should have.
Well, I've seen a lot of smart people over the last 2 years do the dumbest things in the world as far as politics. I mean,
but what I'm saying is, like, these people, they're just, and it's wrong. I'm not saying it's the right way to go. They're just, it's, and they're successful. They're successful, but it's just so fucking easy. So and maybe I think it's easy, and maybe for somebody else it wouldn't be. But it's just so easy. And then you want to act like you know all this shit about politics. I'm like, I can't take this seriously.
Wait, so are you kind of saying, because the examples that you use, like being hacky or being lazy, if you're...
I was just broadening it out.
Right, but I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to get into the gristy here.
I don't want to say who it is.
No. But I'm just saying, if you see that they do a poor job at their day job, and you're sort of looking at it like it's a character flaw,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
And so it speaks to their character, so how can I listen to you, you know, talk about other things?
I'm not saying it's right, but it's where I'm at right now.
All right.
Before I give you the mic, Kev, I will say it does save me a lot of time on social media. Go on.
Oh, my God.
Well, that explains it all. I mean, I'm so disappointed every time I get on social media that I'm, if it wasn't for my career, me promoting myself, I probably would be killed.
You promote yourself? So shy and subdued.
I'm sorry. You just tripped some sarcasm all over me. That's why we need
you
the
drop. You never know
where
Kevin
too.
Is or if he the people me. Enjoy.
He knows me.
Kevin, where are you going to be? No.
Right. No, I.
That's his last name.
But you're talking about your disdain for social media, which I understand.
Well, I'm just talking about my disappointment of seeing people that I thought were smart and intelligent.
And you find out they're not.
I find out they're not.
Oh, yeah.
That's a different... Yeah. That's a social media
because
aspect.
Because of the political views.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I find out that somebody that I just thought was an intelligent human being is a whack job.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah. I mean, there's one thing to...
It blows me away.
There's one thing to people not being educated on a particular topic or being naive about something. There's another thing to have them have these fully formed, wacko opinions. And you go,
yeah.
I can't believe you think like that. That blows me away.
You know
too.
What it is? I think if I see somebody whose act is very formulaic, now, admittedly, I know the formula because I'm a comedian. The audience right. doesn't know the formula. But if I'm seeing somebody's act who's so fucking formulaic,
yeah.
and it's just not a quality I enjoy in an act per se,
right.
I have a hard time thinking that they can think outside the box and see gray and nuance because...
You can see the architecture of the act, and it's boring you. That's because you're bright, and you know what it is. That doesn't mean that this...
Well, I'm talking about my issue.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the...
I don't know if I'm off subject here, but if you see somebody on CNN defending Trump, they're being paid a lot of money to do that. So even if they go to... you're sitting there going, how can he defend that?
Right.
This guy's being paid.
They're all getting paid a lot
yeah,
of money.
Yeah.
They're all getting paid a lot of money.
Sit there and defend Trump.
I mean, yeah.
But when you see somebody that's doing it for free on social media... And
that's a moron.
They're not getting even paid to do this, mm-mm. and they're defending his actions. That's disturbing.
Well, yeah, that is very frightening.
there are people that, you know, whatever, they have their opinions about Trump.
It's not opinions anymore.
Well, they're...
Oh, this is going to be a lively discussion.
I will admit, I'm you know, with the whole Trump thing, I was never a Trump fan, but I tried to be objective about Trump, at least for the purposes
You're
of...
Right?
For the purposes of this show.
Yeah.
For the purposes of this show, I would let Pip be the one... Who was left, and Joe was all in Trump's corner, and is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would often try to be, you know, especially if Joe wasn't here.
Right.
If Joe wasn't here, I would try to give the Trump side of it. I will admit, I'm having a much harder time doing it, and I'm probably doing it a lot less effectively.
actually, I think that it's definitely, I think that you've leaned left as far as your moderation on this show, because it's really hard even to play devil's advocate.
I think once I said, I said a few weeks ago, I'm going, you know what, fuck it, Trump's a racist. I think once I said that, because I was resistant to that for a while.
But he's not the first racist president.
No.
So what I don't understand.
He's just really good at it.
How come people that support him just don't say, okay, we support him, he's a racist?
Because
he's
that
not the first racist president.
Because then that means they're a racist too, and
no,
that's
that
a stigma.
Does not mean they're racist. That's just means that his racism doesn't affect them.
Well, but if you're saying
you have to be a racist, I have
if you're saying I'm willing to overlook racism, that impugns your character. Racism is like one of the biggest stigmas you can have in this country.
But they do overlook it because it's not at the top of their chain. Don't mean that it didn't bother them. It's just I heard somebody on the radio today who's talking about his bottom line right now appears to be doing well under Trump. So that's more important to him, you know, his bank account, than maybe people that are affected by Trump's racism.
No, there's reasons to vote for Trump. But what I'm saying, what you want to, for the, in their mind, there is. Oh, okay. But what I'm saying is you're taking a different approach. You want them to admit.
I want them to admit that, look.
They're not going to do that. That's not happening.
We've had every president. We've had a lot of racist presidents. Trump's not the first racist president
in
the White House.
Please, we had people that owned people before.
Yeah. So.
Oh, the good old days. My kingdom for a bunch of slaves. And that's not racist. I don't care what their color, race, or religion is.
Just anybody
just
to do your work.
People to do my shit for me. So I don't want you to think that's a racist comment. It could be a bunch of white people. Could be other Jews. I don't give a shit. I just want slaves.
He's an equal opportunity bastard.
I am. I'm very open about this.
I know this.
Who doesn't? You wouldn't want slaves?
I wouldn't want slaves, but I wouldn't mind an Asian lady rubbing my feet every night if I went to sleep.
That's a little racist right there. Why she gotta be Asian?
Why she gotta
what
be
happens
Asian?
If there's a perfectly good Italian woman that's willing to do it?
I'm gonna tell you why. Because every time I go to a shopping mall to get a massage, it's never an Italian person rubbing my feet. It's always Asian people. I've gotten a lot of massages. I love massages.
Yes.
I've never been massaged by a black lady, an Italian lady, or a Jewish lady. It's always an Asian lady.
Wait, about generic WASP? They, you know,
now I'm sure there's
our massage
I'm
therapist.
Sure I could find.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure I can go to a massage therapist, and they're going to be different nationalities and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, in general,
that's
they're known for their massages.
Okay. They're like black people are known for being good athletes. That way, wow. And Jews are known. Jews are known for being good lawyers and doctors.
We are known for being good athletes. That's why they wouldn't let us play freaking sports.
I understand that, but you're being hysterical, and I don't give a shit.
Right?
But
I'm being honest. They didn't let us play sports. Why? Because of what reason? They did not want you to play sports because they know that if you let black people play sports, we're going to excel and be better in most cases than they are in a lot of sports.
But it's
I just saw a whole article on not an article. I saw the thing about black quarterbacks in the NFL. I mean, it was just in my lifetime,
mm-hmm.
a black quarterback was allowed to play the position of quarterback in
right.
my lifetime.
Oh yeah, no,
it's not
I know.
That long ago.
It's not that long ago.
I'm like, I'm a teenager and I'm watching a black quarterback, and I didn't realize he's one of the few black quarterbacks
that
you
was
know?
Historic.
Yeah,
you know.
Like, now I know, because now I know he was, but at the time I was like, I didn't know. I thought it was just a normal thing.
Right.
This guy is one of the few black quarterbacks. You're allowed to play football, but you're not allowed to be a quarterback because the quarterback is the leader of the team, and you're not allowed to be the leader of the team because
right.
you're black.
Right.
The quarterback, I mean, being a quarterback
is, that sort of like
is being
the
quarterback
captain?
Is like being a blonde.
Okay.
I'm serious. I mean, to the white man.
Okay.
You know.
Oh, like a special
blonde to a white man thing. is you know, that's the queen.
Okay.
You know?
No.
Yes.
No. Now you're speaking for white men.
Yes.
No. You know what?
I mean, I'm speaking for
you
white
men. You know what men. The queen is for a black man? A white woman. So stop right now. I'm not going to let you.
That is not true.
Well, it's as true as what you said.
No, I'm going to tell you why.
It's as true as what
you saying the white man doesn't adore the blonde lady?
I'm saying different white people adore different ladies. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure. I've seen. I saw.
You're saying
a white guy in a mall the other day with a pretty black girl. Okay, he obviously has. He likes black
yes,
girls.
Yes. Well, you just made a generic statement, and I'm calling your ass on it.
I'm saying that is that's their queen.
That's not true.
Oh my God, it is true.
You know what the queen is for a skinny black man? A white fat girl with benefits. I mean, it's stupid.
That's funny. That's stupid.
go to the South, and you know what I'm saying is true. It's a little different up north, but you go to the South.
Well, that's a stereotype that that's another stereotype. All black men date fat white girls.
Not all black men. Just the one
and,
you don't have standards.
And, okay.
Oh God.
And
everybody's
and
getting shot.
All,
Jesus.
And all white girls date
black athletes.
Oh, black athletes
or rappers
or good rappers.
Good
yeah.
looking black men. Good looking black men.
Okay.
You're never gonna see you don't very often see a very good looking white woman with an ugly black guy, but you will see a good looking black man with an ugly white girl.
You will not see a hot white girl. You would not see a black man with a really, really hot white girl. Very rarely. I mean, unless he's an athlete
or
OJ.
But those are the only black people.
OJ, yeah.
But look where we live.
And OJ was married to a blonde.
Yeah.
But those are the only black people we see. We don't go into people's houses.
She ended up murdered, right?
Yeah.
And the world and the world has never recovered from that.
I think we've recovered. We're okay.
No, I don't think so.
No,
I'm fine with it.
OJ is still I think the top of the list of the most hated men on the planet.
Come on in.
Yes,
right? Still up there.
He's still up there.
Conversation. I think I was
right,
Davin? The wrong show in the car.
Right,
what,
Davin?
Wait, hold on. What were you listening to in the car? Because you sent me a weird text.
I was listening to the BitConnect thing.
Oh, you were listening to an
listening
old show.
Listening to an old show.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
No. Kevin just said, and you can speak to this because you happen to be the qualifications of what Kevin was slandering.
Hello, white guy.
Yeah. Kevin just said to the white men, the queen is a blonde woman. And I said, it varies. It's different for everybody.
Oh, I got to catch up. Wow. I should have listened to the right show.
I'm telling you, man.
That's ridiculous.
And that's why. Okay. So, going back to OJ.
Although my wife is blonde.
Exactly. Boo-doo-doos. Going back to OJ.
But she ain't my queen. I'm running shit.
Oh, so you're the queen.
You're the queen.
Hell yeah. Two snaps.
Oh, God.
Two dope queens.
Yeah. You're the only dope
successful.
Queen in the
they
house.
I'm the dope. I'm the only dope in this house. All right, so you guys, I just said that, and let's ask you in your job. Were there ever people on the force that were really poor at their job, and then you couldn't respect their opinions on other things just because you knew how bad they were at their job?
Yes, just like in any job. You're going to have those people that you just can't touch. I mean, literally, not figuratively. Those people you can't touch, and you just got to kind of like cut your losses with them.
So Dave's kind of like me. You guys disagree, but Dave's kind of like me. It's like, if I don't respect how you do your job, I'm having a hard time listening to you
on
economy or politics or history, whatever the hell
exactly.
It is.
Because a guy sucks at frying chicken at Popeyes don't mean he don't know anything about politics, right?
Right, right.
I mean, you could be very smart at politics. You could be a Fox News or, not Fox News, a CNN junkie.
Yeah, please.
A CNN junkie and know everything about politics, but just suck at your job, whatever that may be.
So you guys are better people than we are.
If I can interrupt.
It's not interrupting. You're part of the show.
Oh, that's right. Hi.
Welcome, Dave. How you doing?
Pleasure to be here.
Kevin Lee.
Yes.
Pleasure to meet you.
Dave.
How you doing, Dave?
So I would take it a little bit differently. Like those people we're talking about, they're, incorrigible, we'll call it.
Incorrigible. Look at the wow, Pip. Somebody else with big words.
That was an SAT word.
I know.
You're not the special one on this show tonight.
I know. We're going to do Battle of the Vocabulary tonight.
new game that nobody wants to hear.
We're down. I know.
That's funny.
But what I mean by that is like they just don't listen with certain things. Kevin, like you're saying, they might be very intelligent in other things, but they're just not willing to listen to other opinions about how they should be doing their job. And sometimes that gets translated into how they feel about other things, in my experience anyway.
Okay.
Now, granted, you could take any job. You're going to have 10 different people, 10 different philosophies, 10 different opinions, and 10 different ways of how those people deal with other opinions. So I actually think you're both right.
Interesting.
Oh, Christ.
Interesting.
Christ, we're both right. That's
well,
not
you notice how
do.
He says interesting and you say Christ, we're both right?
Listen, he's nervous because there's
See,
a white
he's
cop.
Listening. See, he's listening. You're incorrigible.
I most certainly am. Pip, what's that mean?
That means that you don't want to do what other people tell you
I'm more
to
nervous
do.
About black cops than white cops.
You're
Let's get
just
it off the bat
gruntled.
Right now.
Ooh, we'll get into that's interesting. We'll get to that later.
They have more to prove.
We'll get to that. Later. Not now.
All right.
Now's the light part of the show.
Holy, really?
Wait, we start out with funerals. Everyone's
well, that was your fault.
Up from here, yeah. I know.
All right, so I want to start with you guys on this one, since you guys are, quote, civilians when it comes to comedy. And when it comes to comedy.
Yeah.
Is there merit to the phrase, a comedian should know the room when we're talking about a public event? I'm not talking about like a private event, like if I'm doing something for the police or somebody's birthday party, then like you really should know the room.
Yes.
But I'm saying like if you're doing a comedy club or a fundraising type of event, is there any merit on your behalf? Then Kevin and I will chime in.
I don't think so. I think that if you are just going into a comedy club and this is just a random group of people that have gone in to see the show, I don't think that you have to like sit there and do a demographic survey of who's sitting out there, from behind stage and go, okay, I see that there's a lot of older people. Let me like change my act to be older people stuff.
Right.
Because that's,
Of all, some comics don't have older people stuff.
I know, but I'm just saying,
an example, whatever it is, we might not
that
have
you looked out and you saw, I don't know, there's a lot of Asian people. I mean,
are they feet rubbers? Because Kevin's interested.
Yes, they very well might be, Kevin. See,
well, I have
they'll see you
I
at the
have
merch
an Asian
table.
Joke that may be offensive to certain Asian people, so I do it on stage. But I always watch the audience, and I read my audience, and I find out if I can do by reading my audience. I know if I can do this joke again. I had an Asian guy in my audience, and he's the only Asian in my audience. A private event I did Saturday night in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I had an audience in the palm of my hand. I knew that if I did this joke, it would go over.
Okay.
And I did it.
Right.
But then I know at times that I can't do that joke.
How'd the Asian guy seem to go?
Oh, he loved it. See, it didn't bother him at all.
Took out his Chinese stars, waved his nunchucks around.
I'm just saying that, but it was a
said,
consideration.
Oh, me so angry. That's how we took it. That's how we took it, Deb. Went after Kevin with some chopsticks.
That's how it happened.
But I can see that you consider it, you know. No, but I'm saying.
But that's different seeing one guy and go, all right, maybe I don't want to go after, because there's just one guy here and it's going to be weird.
Yeah,
well,
but
if
a
you
busload.
Look out the curtain sometimes or from backstage, uh-huh. When we have backstage, do you see older people in the audience?
Well, hold on.
I want to get
Dave's take. Then we'll take about ours.
Okay.
It's interesting. What I'm going to like it is something else aside from comedy. Let's talk about teaching for a minute, because I actually teach part-time. Now, I teach three different types of classes. I either teach police recruits, I teach veteran cops that have been on the job, and sometimes I teach both. Now, certainly, there's a different way to teach veteran cops as there is to teach rookies.
I would imagine.
First of all, rookies, they have to listen to you. They have to listen to you. They have to laugh at your jokes, too, which is always pretty good.
I got to get that gig.
The veteran cops, all they want to know is what time is lunch, what time do they get out, and what time are breaks. Okay, so you kind of have to tailor your curriculum or your syllabus to those types of groups to accommodate them, to keep them not entertained, but at least paying attention.
But you know that going in what
right,
they
but
are.
Then, but then you have the third group. The third group is the combination of both veterans and recruits.
Okay.
And I'd liken that to what you're saying, Kevin, is you kind of have to read the crowd and see how they're reacting to you.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. I think the audience has the advantage of knowing what they're going to see in this day and age, because you can find out who's going to be performing at the club, and most of us have clips on YouTube.
Right.
So you could see if this is may or may not be up your alley. We don't know. We're just showing up to a gig.
Yes.
We're just going to do our show. Now, we might have some moves within our show that we could go. Like Kevin said, well, am I going to do the Asian joke or not do the Asian joke? But some of us have like a whole chunk. Like say you're doing a 30-minute set and 10 minutes is about being gay. And there's a whole bunch of gay people there that night. You didn't know it. Well, if you take out that 10 minutes, you might not have anything else to replace it.
That is true.
Right.
So you kind of have to go with what brought you to the dance.
I don't take out my gay jokes, by the way.
Nor should
and,
you.
And you care. Know, a lot of people love to laugh at themselves. And so even though you think, uh-oh, it's that kind of person, they might not like it. You have Asian jokes and a busload of Korean tourists come in. You're like, oh, no, should I do my Asian material? You know what? They might laugh harder than anybody.
Yeah, I did my Stevie Wonder joke. In front of a blind guy, it was a blind lady. I take that back. A blind lady was in my audience.
Mm-hmm.
I knew she was blind. I saw her coming in to the club,
right.
Being helped in,
mm-hmm.
and I had to make a decision if I must keep the Stevie Wonder joke in.
Right.
And of course, I made the right decision. I kept it in, you know, and it went over well. You know, I don't know how it went over well for her because I didn't talk to her personally.
Right.
But the people she was with were laughing and seemed to, you know, nobody came up to me and go, "Hey, that was fucked up."
With like when you do our shows, Devin, and when comedians do our shows, the PBA shows,
mm-hmm.
Invariably you guys make fun of us, and we love it. You know, most of us do. The people mm-hmm. that have a personality, I'm programmed to laugh.
Let's
so.
Be honest, though. Not every cop has a personality.
No.
Like but said, to be
like
fair,
said,
you're cool.
I had a good programmer. That's why
you did have a good programmer.
Funny.
Excellent.
But no, but it's interesting. I remember when I met Dave. We were at a Catch a Rising Star in Princeton, a club you and I are both familiar with, Kevin.
Yes, definitely.
And It was. I think it was right after Ferguson, and everybody was doing the hands up thing. And I think I was talking to a black guy on the stage, and I said, "Hands up." And I did a whole bunch of cop jokes, and the guy laughed at it and everything. Now, Dave came up to me after the show. Dave could have been a dick, go, "Hey, man, I don't appreciate you doing that, bop, bop, bop," because I got a whole chunk of police stuff. But Dave's open. He's the type of audience member we want. He can process things. He can laugh at himself. He can laugh at others.
Right.
But they're not everybody.
No.
Right, yeah,
you'll
right,
find
right.
That in every group, though. Every demographic group, you got to find that. Some people are cool, like me. Thank you. Other people are knuckleheads, you know?
And some people are humble.
Right, but I just...
Yeah, some are very humble.
Funny. I just don't like the pushing it off on us that we're supposed to... And you hear it a lot. You should know your audience. You know what? If I'm doing the thing where they do with all the journalists at the end of the year...
Oh,
and they all the politicians and the
yeah.
Hollywood. The Writers Association.
The press.
The report. Whatever the hell. You know what it is. Yeah, I should know that audience because I'm hired for a specific event. But if I'm just doing some restaurant or a comedy club, it's not my job to know the audience.
No.
I got the gig. Somebody else already made the decision that I am right for this situation.
Yeah.
And if you don't like the jokes I'm bringing to the table, that's fine. But you did have the opportunity, which audiences from years past did not have, right, to see, go, you know what, let's stay home tonight. I don't like what he's slinging.
This guy's professionals, Captain F-bomb.
Professionals are, we're still professionals, and sometimes we have to adjust, you know, not really change our jokes, just adjust things in certain, I adjust a lot, you know, because, you know, I adjust. I know what line not to go over, you know.
But sometimes an audience... Like
right now, we're in the most sensitive.
I'll give you an example. You know, and I will. You guys have all seen me. I will call an audience out on their bullshit.
Oh yeah.
But an Italian guy this weekend asked me to do some Italian jokes. I don't really have a lot of Italian jokes.
Okay.
Asked me an older Italian guy goes, "Oh, do some Italian jokes." I go, "I did one. Do more." All right. We're going through half my material here. I did one. Now we're going through the second one. So I do it. I go. Italians are the only ones who'll name their kids Tony. That's the setup. This brings up a whole fucking discussion.
Oh God. Of
that's not true. Ba ba ba. Yes, it is. I'm like, real.
You mean like the blonde thing just now? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you might innocently say something on this show, and it takes up 10 minutes to get back out of it.
No, I'm just saying, yeah, the Tony thing, yeah. It's true.
I'm like, really? We're arguing. This is what we're arguing about, people.
Right.
And I have jokes. My first joke, I know what type of audience they're going to be. If they're groaning on the Tiger Woods joke, which there's nothing they should be groaning about in that joke, I know I'm going to hate them for every minute I'm on stage. I just know. Do you like? Can you tell with your first joke?
Well, you know what I do. If my first joke doesn't get a big laugh, I know it's gonna be a long night.
Right?
Because
we have
it's
that
almost
joke.
One of that. It's that joke that just almost 100% of the time kills the audience.
Is it like
and
setting
it's
the
that
tone?
One time that you go out and you do it at the 2,000 times you go out and you do it and doesn't get a laugh, you're like, okay, it's gonna be a long freaking night.
Yeah, you go, all right, and then you go, all right. Well, do I do the next thing I normally do here, or do I start to adjust now?
Yeah.
You start doing this whole calculus. While our lips are moving, our minds are working.
Yes.
Where do we
twice as fast? Yeah, and the audience has no idea what's going on. You know, but yeah,
we're comics, established comics like Kevin and Joe. You know, they know when Joe when he's here, of course, they know what they're supposed to get on that first joke. Now, it might not always be the first joke, but that joke is up there
right. For
a reason.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This is a joke we feel comfortable with where we can gauge the room.
Yeah.
Sets the tone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, musicians do the same thing. They know they've got to get people with the opening song.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they know, all right, you know, the raise the tempo. Okay, now lower it down for a ballad so everybody can go pee. And then,
I don't think that's what they're thinking.
No.
Mid-tempo.
Not unless you go see some celebrity act and he goes, I'm going to do my new album. And then, you know, you're sitting there going, no, you're going to play the hits we just paid to hear.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We don't hear the new album. Crap.
Yeah, but here's a ballad for my new album. Oh, where is that bathroom?
I went to see a performer and he did all this new music. And I'm like, I paid to hear the old freaking shit. You know?
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to hear the new album.
I think are we at a point now in society where we're not going to see Carlins and Pryors anymore? I mean, by that I mean funny comedians, but provocative comedians. Challenging comedians. Are we going to be relegated to the Ellens and the Seinfelds? Funny comedians, but none of them are really going to challenge you to the core about what you think things, how you look at things that are important to you.
How about Carlos Mencia? I think he does that. I don't know if he's still active or not, but
well, he's still active. Yes.
The problem with Carlos Mencia is he's stolen his jokes.
Yeah.
So he's a bad example. I used to love Carlos. I got that vibe too. I'm like, wow, he's really saying some shit.
Yeah.
And then he found out he's saying other people's shit. I'm not such a fan anymore.
Richard Pryor in today's world, he would not survive because Dave Chappelle is doing. I just said this about Dave Chappelle's last special was he's a sneaky Paul Mooney because what he did.
Oh, we were talking about
was
that.
Paul Mooney in a sneaky way.
Mm.
You know, as far as the whole thing he did about the white people voting for Trump, the poor white people voting for Trump. He's not here to help you. He's here to help me, you stupid motherfuckers. I mean,
right.
you know, and it's true.
Yeah,
you know?
It is.
And because Dave Chappelle's rich, and he's saying Trump's going to help rich people, not you, you know, and he said in a blunt way. But so he's Pryor would be a lot more raw than that.
Yeah.
I mean, Pryor would basically say what's on his mind and not cleverly say it. He would just say it.
Yes.
You know, and thank you.
He was
and
much more visceral.
Think, yeah, Pryor's going to say it and not be clever about it.
But even like Carlin. Carlin would challenge you about politics, mm-hmm. about language, about religion. I don't know. And when you could speak to this. You paid to see comedy. I mean, you see what's out there now. I kind of feel like comedy has shifted to less challenging, more family-oriented. I think
Carlin would do well. I'm sorry. Yeah.
When I used to drive to work every day, you know, it was like an hour and a half each way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Invariably, I listened to, you know, Raw Dog or the comedy stations on XM. And I found, even over the past, like, 5 or 6 years, it seems like there's a lot more rules.
On Raw Dog?
Even on Raw Dog.
Interesting.
On what can be spoken about.
Really?
I mean, Raw Dog was still good. I still like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The other channels, the left, USA, whatnot, you know, Foxhole, et cetera. It seems like the comedians really have to be careful about what they're making jokes about, and I could be wrong. This is just my analogous anecdotal.
Well, but this is the opinion that because I'm sure Kevin and I have. We have our experiences from the stage and the industry. That's why it's interesting to see how you guys look at it.
But bear in mind though that those shows on the radio are just segments of the full show that I'm listening to.
But even when you go to clubs, like do you feel like you're seeing provocative comics or more stuff that you would expect to see on a cruise ship traditionally?
That's kind of hard to answer. Honestly, the last time I was at a show was probably when I saw you.
I ruined the business. he's like, enough!
No. I'm not going again. I see how this goes.
I don't like this at all, this whole comedy thing.
I'm uncomfortable.
Your show was well-rounded. I mean, it really was. I mean, that was $20 you're giving me for that?
Yes.
Sponsorship.
Yeah.
you see the rosters.
Yeah, I see the rosters, man.
I mean, do you feel like it's gotten more vanilla? And I don't mean that as a color thing, but like I like more.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I did. More generic.
Well, no, I don't.
You don't.
I don't. Well, I'm part of those rosters. I mean, but I'm just saying. I see.
You're not an edgy guy, though. You got a couple things you got to be careful about. Which, whenever you tell me you get in trouble for it, I'm always blown away. I'm like, I why would they get upset about that?
Well, they're never edgy on a cruise. In a cruise.
No, not. But I'm talking about
just
the clubs. I mean, you curse.
Guys are still doing what they do, you know. And you look at all the Netflix specials out right now. All of them. And I've watched a lot of them. They're taking chances. Nobody's, you know, scared to talk on a Netflix special.
It is
what it is.
I find the comics in the city are still taking chances.
That's because the guys in the city are still in this thing where they feel like they have to make it. That's why they're in the city, in my eyes.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. It's called ambition.
If you want to make it, you don't go in the city.
Well, it's all those people days, have me
now. Those days are over.
I just watched Two Dope Queens on HBO. They were all city comics.
Are we about to get into, that's a whole nother, that's another
they made
show,
it.
Man.
They were on HBO. They made it. We're in my basement.
They were city comics?
Those were city comics, yes. I knew the comics that were on that. It was I didn't know who the last gentleman was, and I don't know his name, because the Two Dope Queens shouted his name in unison, and I couldn't understand it.
But incomprehensible.
It was Michelle Boutreau.
They did not make it.
And Mark
cut you off, sir. They did not make it because they were city comics. They made it because they had a popular podcast.
No, I'm not talking about the Two Dope Queens. I'm talking about the two comics that they had on the show. Because they have comics on the show doing comedy as well.
Okay.
I'm saying those are city comics that were on the show. Mm-hmm. They were on HBO. So, okay. But that's a whole different thing. Whether the city versus road. I just think when I look at the rosters, I'm not seeing the risk takers as much anymore. I'm seeing like a lot of stuff about being married, which was always out there.
Sure.
And people love that stuff. And, you know, raising your kids, which was always out there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of biographical stuff. But
well, who was a risk taker? I mean, you're going back to what, Kinison maybe? Or
well,
or,
I mean, I'm trying to think
or,
on our,
or,
I'm
or
trying
Dice
to think on our level.
When he was working the road.
On our level. I don't, do you know Danny Bevins? I haven't seen him in years.
I don't know Danny. No.
All right. Let's see. I think Paul Bond, now he's a guitar act, but Paul Bond in spots will take some risks. When Paul Bond actually did a fundraiser for the Bergenfield police, he opened with a whole Muslim thing, which was not good because a lot of the police were Muslim, and that didn't that was a risk not taken well. But
still, I thought they reacted well to it, though. To be honest, I didn't.
Were you there?
Complaints.
You weren't there.
No, but I didn't hear any complaints about
no,
it.
No, but I'm saying, a little dicey.
You mean like the first time I came on your show when I was still on the job and you were talking about Muslims? Remember that?
Oh, yeah, your eyes were pretty wide there.
Yeah, now you can say whatever.
I'm not here, dude. Don't say a word.
I know nothing.
My point is not whether what Paul was doing was funny or not. I'm saying there was a case where he was taking a risk.
Right.
And I don't And Joe takes risks. Mm-hmm. Joe's much more of a risk taker than he used to be. Mm-hmm. But I can't think of a ton of comics outside of the city that have a point of view.
I saw a show at the Tropicana when they used to have a comedy club downstairs, and the Comedy Stop. Thank you. I couldn't remember the name of it.
At the Trop.
Yeah,
I worked there. Yeah.
You'll see that happen a lot. I drop everything. Anyway, I went there for a conference for work, and it used to be a regular thing that we would do when we went down there. Is Wednesday night we would all go to the Comedy Stop. And there was one time we went down where two of the guys were, you know, it was topical humor. It was, you know, your family and what it's like to go old or, you know.
That's a big thing. Growing old and shitting on the younger generation.
Yeah.
Oh, comics love to shit on the younger generation.
I mean, there were a lot of general things that you've seen a lot of people cover. The middle decided that he was going to go out on a limb. I don't remember his subject matter. I just remember he was very edgy, and he was sort of an absurdist kind of comic. He died an ugly death.
Well, be
ugly.
You ugly. Know, and then,
I could see what he was going for.
Yeah.
Well, now we didn't see him, so the question, he might have just been really bad at trying to do it. He might have been like, it's hard to do that shit. He might have been bad at it, or the audience just might be, you know what, we're on vacation in Atlantic City.
Atlantic City.
Yeah, right.
It's a different thing. Resorts are different.
You worked that room?
I did a guest spot there, and then it went out of business.
That room's a different animal.
I am not good for comedy.
The comedy killer.
I am.
Well, you're at my club in a few weeks, so hopefully.
But I played your club a bunch of times.
Hopefully you don't close my club down.
There's a good chance I will. There's a good chance I will.
I'd pat him down for matches before he goes in. I'm just saying.
No, but your club is, I could do what. See, you're willing, because you're a comic, you're willing to put funny out there. Mm-hmm. You don't have, like, all right, you have to be in this box, or I can't have you in there. What I'm saying is I think a lot more the comics that aren't inside of a certain safe box, a safe space, if you will. And I got to ask Paul about this. I mean, he works a lot, but he's a little different because he's a guitar act. I think it's getting harder. I think the clubs want more and more safety. And I don't mean cursing. Cursing has always been allowed. Sex has always been allowed.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm talking about, hey, I have a point of view. I love Donald Trump, or I hate Donald Trump, you know, or, you know, here's the problem. Here's the problem with, here's the difference between black people and Latino people. Like, that used to be a staple of black comedy,
mm-hmm.
black and white people. And it got really played out. So I don't want to see it anymore. But I wonder now if comics.
Oh, don't you want to see it anymore?
Why don't I want to see it?
Yeah.
Because it got played out for 15 years. It was too much. That's why I don't want to watch redneck comedy anymore. Initially, hey, I like Jeff Foxworthy. Very funny. Ron White, very funny. I don't need to see all the knockoffs.
Right.
The Nebuchadnezzar Jew. I don't need to see the Nebuchadnezzar Jew anymore. I don't need to see shit that's already been done. But that's just me. Mm. All right. So you think that there's still risk takers out there?
I think so. I mean, I don't see anything different. I think the audiences are different. I don't think the comics are different.
Well, the audiences are more sensitive.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So yeah. But if you're booking a club or you're a club owner and they're seeing the same things too, that audiences are sensitive, they're going to book the safer acts because their job is to get people in and out every week and have them leave happy. So they're seeing the same things we're seeing.
Well, I think the celebrity comics are getting in trouble more than road comics. I think celebrity comics who take stands and be edgy are a Wanda Sykes going after Trump is going to get in more trouble because of who she is than.
Well, we're going to hear about
than
it.
Than Kevin Lee. You know, I travel with Wanda Sykes as her opening act, you know. So,
I love her.
So, yeah, she's great. But I know.
I do. I love her.
Okay.
She is awesome, yeah. But.
Why don't you go down on her? Fucking get over
okay.
it.
But she's gotten in some trouble doing Trump stuff.
She did. She got booed. It was that in Florida.
No, it was in Boston. She got booed.
Was that where it was?
Really?
Yeah. I remember we talked about it.
Yeah.
But I've gotten in trouble doing Trump stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody reports on that. Exactly.
Yeah.
See, I don't get in trouble doing Trump stuff. You know why? Because I'm a prop comic. I get away with it. I'm a, you know.
That's kind of like Paul with
it's
the
like
guitar.
Paul Bond. Yeah, I get away with it because it's disguised with my, you know.
There's a certain.
I can get away with it.
Yeah.
I have gotten away with it.
There's a certain jovial nature to a man with props or a man with a guitar mm-hmm. versus just a guy with a microphone saying whatever the fuck he's saying.
Yeah.
There's something very disarming, you know, when Kevin's juggling a ball, he's got chainsaws. Well, he's very brave. I mean, I don't agree with him about Trump, but he's very brave.
You really juggle?
Well, who wants to argue for a guy with chainsaws?
You really juggle chainsaws?
Yeah, I juggle chainsaws.
Oh, I never saw your act. Forgive me, but it's pretty wild.
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Look. Still has all 10 fingers, so.
Yeah, still have all 10 fingers, yeah.
You ever do the act with him? You know, like
Kevin and I work together.
I mean, like Chainsaw.
No. I let Kevin have his thing. He lets me have my thing.
And both still intact.
Kevin doesn't jump on the stage when I talk about black people. I don't jump on the stage when he's juggling chainsaws. We just have rules.
Good thing.
All right. Did you watch the Super Bowl?
Bits and pieces of it. I'm really not a big sports fan, fanatic.
You were really hoping for another football fan.
I'll give my 2 cents, though.
Well, all right.
I found you. So you didn't see any of the commercials.
I saw the M&M commercial
with Danny DeVito,
yeah.
And you were at Wegmans. You watched the whole thing.
I didn't like the Danny DeVito commercial. I thought it was cute up to the point where
you get hit by the car.
I thought that was
fell too much for you.
Well, I think it's people get hit by cars in America a lot. Especially being a New Yorker, when I watch 11 o'clock news every night, somebody got hit by a car on every freaking night. When I turn on 11 o'clock news, somebody's hit by a car in New York City.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm just saying.
Shut the fuck up. People lose their finger in chainsaw accidents. So what, you shouldn't just shut the fuck up,
there
Kevin.
Are people who have buried teenagers.
Not M&M's!
We lost a kid last week who got hit on his
bicycle. He wasn't
an M&M! He got hit with a bicycle.
Danny DeVito was a red M&M!
I'm just saying, the parents watching the Super Bowl of their 14-year-old kid who was killed last week, who was watching the Super Bowl, saw that commercial, and saw that car smash into Danny DeVito. What do you think they're thinking right now?
I want some M&M's.
Okay.
That's what they're probably thinking.
Would think that if you just lost your kid to a car accident?
You know what, really?
I'm being honest, man. Answer the freaking question.
So now we got to pander to everybody?
Yes.
Oh, you can't do shit anymore. You know, you juggle the bowling balls, and my uncle had a heart attack while he was bowling. And now it brings up, are you fucking kidding me? It's Danny DeVito and an M&M, and he got up and he was fine. Fuck you.
I didn't like that fucking commercial, man.
Yeah, but your reason is bullshit.
It was a great commercial up to that point,
oh,
man.
Oh, stop it.
I'm looking out for other people who have lost it.
You're the middle-aged white woman all of a sudden.
But no,
stop
that's
it.
Not true, because I watch Forensic Files and things like that. I watch murder shows. I'm addicted to, what's this? ID television, right?
You're the one.
I watch all of that shit. Yeah.
My
sister was murdered. My sister was murdered. So I watched that stuff. I watched the crime scenes and the gunshots and all that stuff. And I'm a brother of a murdered sister from a gunshot. So it's hard to watch that shit, but you know.
So if a comic goes on stage and talks about murder, you have a right to be offended.
No, I'm not offended. I talk about murder on stage with my fucking chainsaw.
Right. So, why are you offended that Danny DeVito, who was a red M&M at the time, gets hit and is perfectly fine? He's talking to another M&M after he gets hit by the vehicle. Why does this offend you?
Well, we shouldn't deny
it. Did you see
right
the commercial? It was pretty freaky.
He's got a right to be offended as a human being, but as a comic, he has no right to be offended.
that was a little intense car jam. That's all I'm saying. Did you see the commercial?
What, you want a slow-moving car?
I'm sorry.
All right, so you got to watch it on YouTube. Did you see the commercial?
Yes, pull
it
up.
Okay.
Yeah. What if he was hit by a horse?
Okay, that's different.
Why is that? If
you're Christopher Reeve, it wasn't good, but I'm just saying.
He ain't around to complain anymore. It's not like he's going to fucking write a letter to bitch about it.
I'm just saying, no.
You can't get offended for an M&M.
All right, move on to the next fucking commercial.
What I wanted to say was I found this year that there was a lot of uplifting commercials. Like, not the M&M one.
Yeah, that wasn't
uplifting.
No, but like, we're in this together. Like, they talked about the one where the mosque was burned down, mm-hmm. and the Jews invited them to the temple, and like, where like in this community, a 95-year-old veteran had his house destroyed, and the community rallied around him.
How about the Ram commercial? Was it a Ram commercial
we'll get to that.
Okay, yeah.
But
that,
did you find, other than that one,
that
too, did you
bullshit.
Find that there was, like I found, like...
I found the commercials very, as you said, very uplifting, yes.
Yeah, and I thought we saw, like, I feel like when they're making these commercials, and it's only been since Trump has been in office that I've noticed it, where, like, certain companies are, like, going, fuck you, for whatever reason, because, you know, he's very divisive, whether you like him or not, he's very divisive. He tells it like it is. But I feel like there's a segment that's going, hey, we're all in this together, and I kind of dig that. You want to talk about the MLK one? I was only half watching it at the time because
watching it too, but I'm listening to some radio.
So it's a Dodge Ram truck commercial, and it's an MLK speech that's playing over, and he's talking about serving, and they have all these examples of people serving, and then at the end it's a Dodge Ram truck here to serve you. I think
a lot of African American are angry at the family for allowing that, because they've been asked this, I mean, they have his, you know, his rights. So right. they've been asked to use his voice in other things, and if they no.
Right, and then this they did.
And this they did.
And they took
just for the
for
money.
The paycheck. Wow.
Yeah, for the paycheck, yeah. So
who are they, Aerosmith? What are they fucking doing?
Yeah, so that's the whole thing.
Yeah, that one struck a lot of people wrong. There was a lot of backlash on
that.
That
was deeply disappointing to hear that happened.
And it was a Ram truck. Like, last time I see the black man in a Ram truck.
Would it be better if it was a Toyota? What the fuck's the make a difference? They weren't dragging a black man behind it. Jesus Christ.
Well, that has happened before.
You're right. It absolutely has happened.
They were dragging a little red M&M guy.
Oh, now you're upsetting Kevin.
No, actually,
somebody might have eaten too much chocolate and got fat and then died of a heart attack. And now
it was good to see Danny DeVito get a job.
It was good to see Danny DeVito.
He had worked in a long time.
Kevin, yeah. I just have to say, do you need a little security blankie over the red M&M commercial? Because, oh my God, you softy.
Call him a pussy. Call him.
No. I don't call people that, but oh, dude, really?
Yeah, thank you.
I'm just saying, man, that was some bullshit. It caught me off guard. No. You know what it was?
It was too edgy.
No, I'll tell you what it was. I'll tell you exactly what it was. I just finished telling Patricia, my fiance.
Oh, you're engaged?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Congrats.
Well, thanks, man.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You set a date yet?
No. Why? You going to come do comedy there?
If you'd like people to leave, I absolutely will.
It's happened at weddings before.
I'll give you a bowl of red M&Ms as a gift.
No, we were just talking about, we're sitting in bed watching 11 o'clock news, and I said, I was jokingly saying to her, I'm going to cut on the news and find out who got hit by a car tonight. Because every freaking night on 11 o'clock news, somebody's hit by a car.
It's true.
So it was fresh in my mind when I saw that, because this kid, the 14-year-old kid, had just lost his life like 2 days before the Super Bowl, hit in the city by, I guess, a trash truck or something, and smash his kid, you know? So
you know what would have helped that kid?
So that's what...
You know what would have helped that kid, Kevin? A hard candy shell. He has a hard candy shell. He's going to get up.
Oh, my God. I feel the flames already. It's a precursor to what you will see in the future.
Hey, his ratings are booming because of that type of talk. So we'll
no, I listen. Listen. If you want to be a sensitive Sally, fine.
I wasn't being sensitive.
You were being a sensitive Sally.
Sensitive Sally.
Just a little bit.
As a comic, you can't get offended at shit like that.
I can see that there if that had just happened.
It was
happened,
fresh on my mind, that's all.
If that had just happened to somebody in your family, yes, that individual would be offended.
Are you going to write
are you
a letter?
Not do that?
I mean, come on.
No, really.
No, you're not going to write a letter.
Please, you know. There's things that I don't like it when the Affleck goose gets in trouble, but because I like animals. But it's like, do you have to put a trigger warning for Pip?
Okay, No.
All right.
I don't like the Affleck goose because he used to be Gilbert Gottfried, and now he's not.
Now it's not.
That's Gilbert's fault.
That is Gilbert's fault.
Yeah.
All right. So you did not see the halftime show?
No.
You did not see the halftime show?
I did not.
What?
I didn't. I was in Wegmans.
I'll tell you what, Kev. We'll talk about this. I was not impressed with the halftime show. It was Justin Timberlake this year. Last year, Lady Gaga. What?
Was there a wardrobe malfunction?
No. Oh. It would have helped. Last year, Lady Gaga performed at the ceiling of the fucking building and jumped. Yeah. The year before that, Bruno Mars kicked. I'm not a huge Bruno Mars fan. Kicked all sorts of ass.
Yes.
So
yes,
the bar was really high.
Right.
Yeah.
Timberlake didn't do it for me.
I thought he did a good job. I mean,
it was solid.
He did not destroy the room, as we say in comedy. And
what does that mean?
Destroy means tear the house down. Is another term for
destroy the room.
Destroy the room.
Or in my case,
destroy the room.
No, it's destroy.
In
the
my
room.
Case, it means drop the N word, and then they stop doing comedy. That's what it means.
Yeah.
That's what it means when I do it. But
he did a good job, and he paid.
It was
he paid tribute to Prince, which was very nice of him to do that.
Well, the family didn't want the hologram, so they did a video projection.
Why did the family want the hologram?
Because I think Prince had said he felt that was demonic.
Really?
Because they've done that. Who'd they do that? Was it Tupac that did it at Coachella a couple years ago?
I think them cremating him less than 24 hours after he died was suspicious. So
absolutely.
I don't have no respect for the family.
Why was that suspicious?
The guy was dead for less than 24 hours.
I want to hear what the detective has to say.
Okay, yes, that's good. Me too. All right. I'm sorry.
The guy was dead for less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Jews get you right in the ground. Jews aren't waiting around.
Right away.
He wasn't
something
Jewish.
Like that, though. I mean, something especially high PR like that.
But they found out what it was. It was an overdose.
And they were trying to hide that, you think?
No, they weren't trying to hide that.
I don't think they were trying to hide that, but it was just very suspicious.
Prince was murdered. Mm,
I thought
was
it was
murdered.
Suspicious,
you
too.
Think Prince was that murdered?
Yeah, I think Prince was murdered.
No, I didn't think that, actually.
No, I do, yeah.
By whom?
Where were you, Davin?
Where
the night he died?
Where was I? I was in his fucking closet.
I see the little stub that says Minneapolis plane ticket sticking out of your pocket, you know Kevin. What the hell were you doing?
I had a red M&M bent over this fucking table when my prince died. That's what I
did. You did Danny DeVito?
I did the red M&M before he was Danny DeVito. Oh, I knew that M&M before he was Danny DeVito. When that red M&M was nobody, that's when I knew him.
That red M&M is saying me too now.
He most certainly is, and he melted in my hands. Yes, he did.
All right, so Justin Timberlake sucked. Okay. So.
I thought the conversation would be more robust, but they're not sports fans.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Okay. I do like hockey.
Well, that's good, but there wasn't a big fucking thing about hockey on Sunday night.
I know.
That's great.
The salad bar in Wegmans was very fresh.
Oh, for
crying out. Super Bowl. Okay. Wegmans.
Yeah. It's a supermarket. I go
back to M&M's.
I know Wegmans.
Oh, okay. M&M's. I didn't know.
I can't kill it too much because if me and my wife get an off night on a Friday, sometimes we'll go shopping at the supermarket. So it's a nice quiet time.
Oh, it's a tradition.
Wegmans is the cheaper version of Whole Foods, but not much.
Yes, yes.
Everything is a cheaper version of Whole Foods, but not much.
I know.
But they dropped the prices, Whole Foods, right?
Somebody bought the company, apparently.
I don't know.
Amazon
bought it. Wow. So they're going to drop it. I don't think they've dropped them yet, but yeah, the price is going to go down because Amazon bought it. So, yeah.
All right. You guys must have heard about this post Super Bowl. I'm sure you. Eagles fan eating horse poop.
Yeah,
it's not shocking.
What?
I didn't see that one? I saw the Eagles fan setting cars on fire, and
that's a warm up. That's the opening act.
Wait,
first
literally?
Of all, those aren't Eagle fans. Those are thugs, as President Trump would have tweeted.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
If they were white,
they were white.
I mean, if they were black, I'm sorry, they would have been thugs.
Mm-hmm. With a Z?
And criminals if they were Spanish.
Illegals.
Yeah, illegals, yeah.
Yeah, rapists.
Whatever. It was clearly a white guy who was eating horse poop.
For real?
Yeah,
for real.
Yeah, eating horse poop, yeah.
Don't you see it? Go on to our Facebook page I posted.
Do I have to watch this now? Oh, my God.
Are you going
to
watch it? Is there a video of it?
Oh, my God, yes.
I don't want to see
think
that.
I was there?
You're just arguing at me for eating a damn orange just now.
Times.
It was there. Video, yes. All different angles. And there's a bunch of Eagles fans cheering him on. And he's on his hands and knees on this mound of horse poop. And he flips his scarf because you don't want to get horse shit on the scarf. There's rules to this. Oh. And then he just digs straight in.
You're watching this?
I haven't gotten there yet. I'm finding it. I'm listening to his description and I'm like,
they're talking about
my
on
God.
The radio all day.
Do I want to see this?
Hey, whatever you're into.
No, you don't want to see that.
No, I kind of don't, but yeah. I'm already in.
You have to see it, right?
I got to see it now.
Oh, my God.
But, well, the caption is they've stooped to a new low and I'm like, yeah.
Or pooped to a new low.
Nice.
That's funny.
Nice.
That's disgusting.
Oh, here's a preamble. He's wrapping the
keep it that
yeah,
way.
Okay, you don't want to say. Okay. You guys
pussies.
Are, sorry.
Pussy. I watched it over and over again.
Oh no, he's down on his knees.
Slow motion too,
he's playing he's smiling.
Well, you have to have the right attitude to eat poop.
Yeah, you'll be a fly smiles when you eat shit.
He's getting the scarf out of the way. This is going to be bad.
It's going to be disgusting.
No.
Is he doing
no.
it?
No. He's face. No. Dude, no.
Things heard in Harvey Weinstein's office.
That's ridiculous. I don't even want to see it because I won't be able to get that out of my mind.
No, you don't want to see this because
I don't want to see that.
No.
Seen some bad things.
No.
Hey, buddy, what's up, man? Who wants to watch a guy eat poop? Who wants to watch that?
Joe, did you see the Eagles fan eating the horse poop?
No, I heard about it. That's actually real.
Oh, yeah, I can't watch the video now for crying out loud. Do I have to put everything in show prep for you guys?
You gonna watch this?
No. Oh my! Pull up a chair,
Joe. See that?
I want you guys to see.
No. I don't want to see.
Well, you're too squeamish. M&M's make you cry.
Yeah.
Joe's watching it. Joe, give us your reaction while you watch it.
Okay, well, I'm trying to get there.
You were just there.
I know. I closed it. I don't want to see it again.
Oh, come on. You're fucking...
All right, let's get Joe's reaction.
Why would you do that?
Because you're hungry.
Oh, that's disgusting. Yeah.
He's doing before he gets over to
that's the pre-horse shit dance.
Yeah, that's the.
It's not snacking. Even alcohol. You know, it's not.
Oh, I'm sure there was no alcohol.
Yeah,
that was completely sober. That was sure.
No. Yeah.
Well, I don't know any alcohol to make you do that. You know.
Tequila.
This guy just calls
alcohol's made you sleep with a few ugly women, but not eat poop.
This guy just calls this Sunday. You know, this is like Super Bowl behavior. Oh, watch this dainty little maneuver. He gets his scarf out of the way. This kills me.
It looks like he lost in a fat horse challenge.
Oh!
Yeah, you would have buckled if we did that. I hope.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God.
Who wants pizza?
I'll have mine with extra horse poop.
You know what? I'd be like, oh, you like that. Well, it's disgusting, but for a Philly fan, you know, it's another day at the office.
Yikes.
I wouldn't expect nothing less. I couldn't wait till he won, because to figure all the antics that these guys would be pulling. Yeah.
Well, whoever he is, he'll probably never get laid again in his lifetime.
Yeah. But I mean,
somebody's going to be giving him a bottle of, you know, some kind of like mouthwash every day on his.
Well, I mean, it's hard to date after that. I do think he'll be a special event at comedy clubs. This guy is now a headliner.
Yeah, if he sells out, he's a headliner.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome YouTube sensation. You've seen him on TMZ, fresh from the streets of Philly, horse shit eating guy.
Obviously, this guy has a job though. Obviously, let's say if he had a job, is he going to get fired now? Because like his face is going to get plastered.
Horse shit lives matter.
Horseshit lives matter. That's funny. Horseshit lives matter.
It's not like he did
somewhere. Somewhere there's Mr. Ed going, me too.
I mean, he has to be fired after this.
Why? Why?
He washes his hands.
Why does he get fired?
What's the meeting going to be? Sit down, Bill. Bill, we have a company policy here of not eating horse shit. And
at least in
broke
public.
It.
At least in public.
Now, we all like horse shit, but we don't love to let on.
Okay,
let the secret out.
You can't get fired for eating horse shit.
Do you want this guy cooking your steak at
a... Well, I don't think he should work at a restaurant.
What if this guy was on your show?
Maybe he worked at a
restaurant.
If
this guy was on my show, fucking Joe and Pip would be gone. He'd be doing an hour straight on my show. So finally, somebody could bring ears to the fucking radio.
Did you see the stuff I had to eat when I lost at the fat
it
host
wasn't
challenge?
Horse shit.
No, but it was close.
No. It
Davin
was all
just sold you two out for a horse shit eater, by the way.
Gefilte fish juice
is
not horse shit.
It was noted.
Yeah, you know that. He just sold you guys out for a horse shit eater.
Oh, like I wouldn't get bumped for Valentine's Day if horse shit eater had 45 and was available.
Yeah, you would get bumped.
We know how this business works. Let's not horse shit around here, people.
You know, if you want to MC, you know, we can have you come in.
Yeah.
You can bring the horse shit out to him if you want. You know, we'll keep the same pay.
Listen, I just spoke to horse shit guy. He really doesn't want you to sell merch after the show. He's going to be selling fake horse shit. He thinks it's going to affect his sales.
Yeah, you know, he's bringing an opener. This guy eats dog shit.
That is disgusting.
Do you have to cover the front row with a tarp?
It's
like
a Gallagher,
show.
It's a Gallagher show.
Yeah.
Wow.
That show stinks.
Oh, really? Really?
Man, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I had to go there. That's
all nice. Right. So the last question before we take the break, and this is for Joe. Joe, pull up the microphone, sir.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Super Bowl?
Yes, I watched the Super Bowl. I didn't sit there planted to it, but it was on at the compound, and I watched
You were aware of the events?
I was aware of the events.
Why was there even a Super Bowl party since we were boycotting NFL because some fellas took
it? Cut it out.
Cut
it out. You know why? Because the Super Bowl is a national thing, okay? What, during the whole season, I didn't watch the game. There's a party.
Well, the Giants sucked.
If
the Giants were good, you would have watched.
I didn't really watch any of the games. There was a party. The game is on, and I watched the game while it was on. What am I supposed to do, stupid? Sit in a corner with my back turned to the TV?
If you were a man of integrity.
Yeah.
were you boycotting the game? Well, I boycotted. I didn't watch the game for 16 seasons. I did watch the Super Bowl.
No, but he made a whole big thing when Trump brought the whole kneeling thing.
I did, but I didn't watch the games during the season.
Because the Giants sucked.
The Super Bowl is on. I'm at a party. I'm going to glance at the game.
Yeah.
If the Giants were doing well, if Eli wasn't sucking his own dick this year, and the whole team wasn't injured, you would have been watching.
My brother-in-law is the biggest Philly fan, and he boycotted the whole season. Now, I don't know if he watched the Super Bowl because I haven't talked to him yet, but he's a huge Philly fan. I was telling my sister, I said, he picked a nice time to boycott football.
Oh, God, did he?
But he boycotted. Everybody. He boycotted this season.
You should ask him to boycott your career. Things will be looking up for you next year.
Because of Kaepernick, and that's why.
Wait. He boycotted because Kaepernick doesn't have a job.
Yes.
He boycotted because Kaepernick doesn't have a job. People are boycotting because people are still kneeling because you're all a bunch of assholes. They don't give a shit what you do. They're still making money. They just had, was it like a $500 million a year contract or something? The NFL just signed with NBC for Thursday nights, and nobody watches Thursday night football. It's the slowest way. The NFL is doing fine.
You know what?
Oh, yeah, of course.
They're doing fine. However, in the long term, I mean, the viewership was down this year.
Because the product sucks.
Viewership was down last year.
Yeah,
viewership has been down. And what they need to find out is, you know, with football, with a bigger population of, you know, Spanish people and stuff like that, or Latin American people, soccer is going to start to be very more prevalent, I feel.
Well, we've been hearing that for 40 years. It hasn't happened.
Look, I think soccer stinks.
Of course you do.
But
it'd be better if there was a wall in the middle of the field that they could run towards.
But do you like soccer? Do you like soccer?
I watch when the United States is in the World Cup, I find myself watching those World Cup games.
But then, and only then.
Right. So, right. Because a little bit afterwards, I will watch it. But there's no team that I didn't grow up supporting a team. Like, even the teams that are around here now are fairly local. They're 20 years. When we were growing up, it was the Cosmos. But the Cosmos aren't around anymore. Yeah. So I didn't grow up investing in it. But I still like to see our athletes do well. And the World Cup soccer is exciting. I mean, as exciting as soccer is going to be, it's very exciting. So I do watch that, but I don't have a team. But I don't watch football games or baseball games or hockey games if I don't have a vested interest in it. Like, I don't just turn on a random baseball game between the Royals and the Tampa Bay Rays unless it's affecting what the Yankees are going to do. Right. So I'm the wrong guy to ask for that. The Super Bowl is, like, the only game I do watch. When I don't, and with the Patriots, and it's a lot easier for me to watch because I want them to lose.
Yes.
See, I'm the same way.
Hate watch.
I'm not a big football guy, but I will watch the Super Bowl. But I didn't lose any. You know, boycotting the season didn't bother me, for one. I mean, because I don't really watch football that much anyway.
But were you going to boycott because Kaepernick didn't have a job?
No, I wasn't going to boycott because he didn't have a job. I was boycotting not because he don't have a job, because he's a very rich man either way. And, I don't like the way the NFL owners handled the situation. It wasn't about his job. It was about the way I felt they handled the situation wrong and showed that most of them are super rich men who live in a bubble. White men, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to leave that out. They live in a bubble, and it's not a bubble of reality.
See, I think you're misreading the majority of the owners, just to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah. No, not that they're white rich men in a bubble, but I'm just talking about how they handle that. Because to be honest with you, and we had this conversation.
That bubble's a luxury box. The luxury box,
right?
Is nice. It's food and a beer and there's a chick that serves you food.
It could have been handled better, but it
wasn't. Damn right.
But it wasn't but here's the thing. They were in a tight spot. It wasn't handled the way Joe would have liked to have had it handled, because Joe would have liked the owners to come down and say, you can't do that. We're paying you that money.
Right.
And for you, they weren't supportive enough of the athletes. So that's why I say, well, you know what? Considering what they were faced with, and these guys are on their payroll, and, you know, they do have a relationship with these guys. I'm sure they care about some of these guys and everything.
They care about them as long as they run the football.
Some of them they do. So, I mean, everybody has their favorites.
Okay.
I really believe that when they tried to handle that situation, the owners tried to find a way that would be the most cost-effective. That's what I think. The best way to handle it, kind of like what you're saying, Kev.
Yes.
The best way to handle it that would be most cost-effective, and they, because of that, they did it improperly.
Well, what should they have done?
I think, well, anybody else want to speak? Go ahead.
I mean, we also like.
Well, yeah, because you know how Kevin and I. Yeah, yeah.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. I'm hearing they did things wrong, but I'm not hearing what they could have done right.
Well, the first step would be is to sit down with both parties that feel aggrieved, whether it's, you know, people on the Kaepernick side or the people on the flag side, and try and get their opinion on how to handle it. Now, granted,
That was done in places.
And I was just going to say, I understand that that's not going to work in most situations.
It was done in Cleveland. I know it was done. Right. It was done in.
But then the problem is, once it didn't work, it was like, oh well, we tried, so we're going to do this.
No,
instead.
It did work in places.
But
it did work.
For the majority, it did not, though.
No, those stories just don't get reported.
For the majority, Goodell, I think he's the NFL commissioner or whatever, because I don't follow sports. Is it Goodell? Right.
Yeah.
All right. So basically, he came down and said, "This is the way we're going to do it. I suggest you guys do this." How is that handling it? Because now everybody's doing it differently.
Because the Goodell doesn't have the power to tell the owners how to do it, because Goodell, like the players, works for the owners.
Right, but still, I think that, and again, I'm not a problem solver when it comes to that, but I do think that not enough attention was given to both sides, and therefore it was.
I think the original aggrievement was not about the flag. It was just the form of protest they took, drew all the attention to the flag, and we've talked about whether that was the best thing to do or not. But that's what they were presented with. I don't know what the owners could have done more that would have made everybody happy, because apparently nobody's happy.
You know, if it was the NBA, it would have been totally different, because the NBA players have more money and more power than NFL players.
So a lot less of them.
LeBron James,
and they also mostly come from similar
backgrounds. Power They have so much power. Look, people come to the football stadium to see teams in the NFL, except for your guys like Brady, who's a draw. I mean, but they're there to see the team. But LeBron is an icon. I mean, I mean, super rich people in football, but there are a lot of super rich people in basketball, and most of them are African American.
Well, they also have guaranteed contracts.
And they have guaranteed contracts.
Here's the thing. Traditionally in basketball at this point, we're talking about people who come from cities, or with the white people, a lot of them are coming from Europe. So you have two distinct backgrounds. In the NFL, you got city kids, you got rural kids. It's a much different thing. So you span the gamut more.
When the San Diego player, and the owner of the San Diego basketball team was caught on tape doing racist, talking racist. What was he talking about? Magic Johnson or whatever? Dropping the N-word.
Donald Sterling?
Donald Sterling.
That was the Clippers, LA Clippers.
Okay, he was fired. He wasn't fired. He was thrown out.
Different time.
I'm just saying, he was thrown out, right?
He wasn't thrown out. He was pressured to leave.
They got rid of him.
He was pressured to leave.
Pressured to leave is being thrown out.
Thank you.
He still got
rid of his ass. he's gone. He's gone, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying.
My point is, that's power. That would never happen to an NFL owner if he got in the same situation. He would have an NFL owner would have never been pressured out.
The guy who talked the toughest was Jerry Jones. But if Ezekiel Elliott and what's the quarterback's name? I can't think of the quarterback's name. But Ezekiel Elliott's their big running back, who's African American, and their quarterback is African American. If they both stood up to Jerry Jones and said, "You know what? We're going to take a knee," and Jerry Jones would have fucking backed down because he was trying to compete for a division and he didn't want to see his two best players on the sidelines. And we already know Jerry Jones will hire people that beat their wives and shit. So Jerry Jones is making a stand because of Donald Trump. But I'm saying there is no right way to handle it. But there's no ideal way, because on Joe's side, they weren't forceful enough. And on Kevin's side, they weren't supportive enough. You can't win. It's an unenviable position where everybody can go, "You're wrong." So I feel bad for them, as much as I'm going to feel bad for a billionaire. They couldn't win. There was nothing they could do.
That's what drove the ratings down.
No, I think what drove the ratings down is the hits are different now because they're worried about the concussion protocol. And most of all was the stupid catch rule. Because when you got the damn announcers going, "I don't know if it's a catch," 5 minutes after the guy catches the ball, it takes the excitement out.
Yeah, right. With that in mind, there was a lot less calls in this game.
Yeah, because don't fuck it up, stupid. We've had a bad season.
Let him play football.
Yeah,
yeah.
And when is Chris Collinsworth's retirement party? Yeah. By the way,
what?
Chris Collinsworth. When is his retirement party?
Because you're not a fan.
Oh, he's done. He won't be on the air next year.
Yes, he is.
I don't think so.
They got Thursday Night Football. He'll be back.
He made two really stupid.
Well, he's Chris Collinsworth.
Too stupid. In the middle of the Super Bowl.
Well, too.
You can't do that in the middle of the Super Bowl.
He's Chris Collinsworth.
The Super Bowl.
His network got it. That's how it goes.
In front of so many people. Nobody's tuning in to Thursday Night Football because of Chris Collinsworth.
No, they're tuning in to watch the game.
So he's not dispensable. He's gone.
I'm not saying he's indispensable, okay. But they're not going to fire him.
You don't think so?
Okay. No, because especially if Al Michaels wants him to stay.
Right. Yeah.
That's his partner. Al Michaels got Boomer Esiason fired.
Yeah. Al Martin has, he has
part. All right, so we've come up with no way to solve this problem. Perfect. And I still think Joe's a hypocrite and he thinks he's fine. All right, let's take a break.
Listen, it's a game that a nipple could take down, so I think that everybody's little fifis get ruffled really easily in football land.
A nipple, huh?
Yeah, she was sitting on that one for a while. Mm-mm. I thought we were going to get to break before that one slipped out.
No,
but
that nipple slipped out.
And she followed it up. See, Pip's got integrity that most people don't have. Pip will ride the ship all the way to the bottom of the ocean.
I am the captain. Yes. I'm going down with my own ship.
Yeah, that's what I love.
She'll hit the bottom and then start digging.
And that's why we love Pip. All right. On the break, new music from Freya Alley with Stardust and Danielle Morgan with Behind Closed Doors. And you can learn more about both artists at deucemusic.com. We're going to be back with some light topics like policing and race.
Right.